on this very day, Palm Sunday, that God set about making everything glorious for you and me. I invite you to remain standing for the Palm Sunday Declaration. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Hear now this reading from the matchless Word of God. St. John wrote, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Perhaps no truer words are recorded to capture the mindset of the disciples than John chapter 12, verse 16. And I'm convinced those words still apply to us. John comments when he says, "At first, his disciples did not understand all this." Do we really understand who Jesus is? Why he came? What he is up to? Do we understand his mission, his heartbeat, his reason for coming? Do we understand that he is God in flesh, revealing in a tangible way the heartbeat of God? Do we understand that in Jesus, God is for us, not against us, and his greatest desire is to work the promise of this single word into our lives? It's an ancient Hebrew word. It's an ancient Aramaic word. It's an ancient word of faith. It is the word Hosanna. This morning, that ancient word will be spoken by nearly every language group around the world. Hosanna. What does it mean? And what are the implications for our lives? Literally, the word means save now, with a sense of urgency. Rescue now. Restore now. Help us now. It's a word that was well versed by the Hebrew people. This word, Hosanna, is literally found in Psalm 18, verse 25. You might flip there and underline it. Now, because we're translating from the ancient languages, Psalm 18, verse 118, verse 25 says, "Save us, Lord." That's what Hosanna means. This cry from the people of God was customary at this time of the year. Jerusalem was teeming with people for the Festival of Tabernacles. There was an estimated more than 3 million people cramming themselves into the holy city in preparation. Hosanna was a part of the liturgy of the ancient Hebrew people. They would cry out to God, "Hosanna, save us now." Now, the Hebrew people were continuing to pray for salvation from the enemy. Now, God had blessed them by bringing them out of Pharaoh's grip. They murmured, they complained, they groused, they were ungrateful, but God made a way where there seemed to be no way. Now in the promised land, they are in the grip of a pagan, oppressive, foreign government, the Romans, holding them at their neck, and they continue to pray, "Hosanna! Save us from these pagan, godless Romans." What the disciples, what the Hebrew people and the disciples never fully understood was this: God does want to save. But what we need saving from has nothing to do with going on the outside of us. What needs to be dealt with is what's going on the inside of us. It was customary that as a victor rode into the holy city, that a great procession would take place, and because the palm was a symbol of victory, palm branches would be torn from trees and waved as a symbol of victory. Depending on how important the person was, one might even take his external cloak off and lay it as literally a red carpet, as you will, of welcome for someone special. Why Jesus? Why this word, Hosanna? Jesus had been teaching in the countryside and had become known as a miracle worker. And just before Jesus arrives in Jerusalem in John 12, he was on the other side of the Kidron Valley in the town of Bethany that looks over the Kidron Valley. So many of you have been to the Holy Land, and you know what it's like to stand at the church where Jesus wept over the city and see the holy city itself. He was visiting his dear friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Lazarus had passed away. He had died, and Mary and Martha were terribly distraught, and Jesus was delayed in arriving. You remember those wonderful King James words, Lord, he stinketh. Jesus works the miracle of miracles. He calls Lazarus forth to new life. I hope you see the interesting biblical connection that Jesus calls forth one man to new life, and he's fixing to go to the cross that he might call every one of us to new life. Some were gathering that day because they had heard about this miracle worker and they wanted to be sightseers, spiritual sightseers. Was he simply coming to town to set up his miracle working shop for profit, like so many others had done, promising to be the Messiah of God only to line their own pockets? This was Jesus who had been quoted as saying that he was the King of the Jews. Hey, would this be the military man to come and force a coup d'etat and get the Romans running out of their country? If so, he arrived rather strangely, instead of on a mighty horse, as a prevailing general would. He was riding the humblest of a baby donkey. People were looking for something. They were looking to Jesus. Would he be the one to rescue them, to save them, to put right what was wrong? It was because they were hoping, they were looking to Jesus, that they said, Hosanna. When they saw Jesus, they saw hope. When you see Jesus, what do you see? I see the ultimate source of hope. This morning I want to think about the word Hosanna, which means save. Fashion this message around those four letters, S-A-V-E, with the great desire that today you would move from a spiritual spectator to a follower of Jesus. That you would come to realize that the greatest victory you need in your life, it's not over the external forces that seem to be warring against you, but the internal forces that are causing you to be your own worst enemy. My great prayer today is that you will leave this place with Hosanna on your lips because you know something of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in your life. So, S-A-V-E. This is my reason for hope. Number one, Hosanna, save me from my sin so I can stop living beneath my dignity. Now, I have termed this carefully. I've altered this since I prepared the outline because I'm using sin in the singular sense. Sin has a twofold issue. And in this sense, I mean that enormous gulf that separates every human being from the one who made us and has a purpose for our lives and the only one who can unlock the incredible gifts that live inside us. And we celebrate today that Jesus has bridged that gap. But then sins has a second meaning when it's plural. I am grateful today that that gap between my brokenness and the holiness of God has been bridged. I thank God the blood of Christ and the blood of the cross has done that for me. But I still have residue of the old life living in me. Now, if you're a believer this morning, do you realize you have residue of the old life in you too? Some old ways that haven't been retrained yet. Some old thought patterns and habits, some old vocabulary that hasn't yet been fully redeemed. I'm praying today, as I pray Hosanna, for the areas of my life that are not yet fully redeemed. Methodists would call that going on to perfection or sanctification. The Holy Spirit of God addressing the particular areas of our lives that every part of us might be redeemed. What's so cool about this word Hosanna and about this day is this. Jesus, in His coming, communicates to the world the heartbeat of God. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. St. Matthew wrote, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph," remember Mary and Joseph, "in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus," in Greek, Yeshua in Hebrew. I'm sure the angel spoke Yeshua. "Because he will save his people from their sins." Yeshua, Jesus, means the Lord saves. This is a Hosanna day for me with great joy because I know that I know that I know that through the blood of the cross, the relationship that was so long broken between me and God has been restored. Do you know that hope of saving grace in your life? But I also cry out Hosanna today because I know He's not done with me. And I desperately want the residue of the old life to be redeemed, to save me from myself. And I give thanks. Now, I've been asked by folks, how do I know that I'm saved? Is it just wrapped up in a prayer? Is it a transaction? I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. Yeah, I guess I'm saved. I go to church occasionally. Give a few bucks, I guess I'm saved. How do I know that I'm saved? For evangelicals, for Wesleyans, for Methodists, that concept of salvation makes a palpable difference in our lives. So, the first point, Hosanna, save me from my sin so I can stop living beneath my dignity. But secondly, Hosanna, save me from self-accusation, from beating myself up for my mistakes. I am convinced a sure proof of the hope of the living God living in us is our capacity to be forgiving and to forgive ourselves. So the A. Save me from self-accusation. Do you know what it's like to beat yourself up for a mistake of the past? for some brokenness in your life? I do. And I'm grateful for God's glorious gift of guilt. Do you know anything about guilt? Do you know that guilt is a glorious gift of God, according to the Bible? Guilt is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And this is the way the Spirit of God speaks guilt to me. These are the words I hear. Ding, ding, ding. Dum, dum, dum. Ding, ding, ding. That was dum, dum, dum. I heard that recently. I acted on incomplete information. Have you ever acted on incomplete information? And my acting on incomplete information caused someone else to be hurt. And boy, did the Spirit of God speak to me. What words? Ding, ding, ding. Dum, dum, dum. Now, in the face of guilt, in the face of embarrassment, in the face of being wrong, I could have said, oh, he doesn't matter. I got stuff to do. Everybody makes mistakes. This is just one of many decisions I make. In enough time, he'll get over it. Who cares? Let's move on. No, not for believers. Believers cannot abide the self-accusation of guilt, but rather take guilt and say, God, use this situation to help me make restitution. God, I will not rest until I make this right. A sure proof that the Spirit of God is living in you is the capacity to take guilt and self-accusation, own up to it, and say, God, with your help, I'm going to make this right. I know too many believers, even in this great church, whose spiritual life has been shut down because a mistake was made, restitution was not made, and they've internalized the guilt and self-accusation. And if that describes you, for any reason or circumstance in your life, that here's St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, to believers, to those who know the power of Hosanna, St. Paul writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And we might call the law of sin and death guilt, self-accusation, brokenness. You are wrong. Paul goes on to say, for what the law was powerless to do, to be our taskmaster, to be our teacher. What the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did. How? By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering for us. For you, for me. Sure evidence of the saving grace of God in your life is that moment you can say, I will no longer be held captive to my own self-accusation. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. And if you will ask Him, the Spirit of God will help you make right what was wrong and set you free. Where do you feel in bondage to guilt, to regret, to self-accusation? You don't have to live there one more moment. The promise of Hosanna as yours. Well, in these first two points, I've tried to think about what we are saved from. Saved from our separation from God. Saved from being our own worst enemy. Saved from the internalized guilt of self-accusation. But in these next two letters, I want us to think what we are saved for. Why are we here? So we look at the letter V. Hosanna, save me and help me visualize a ministry that uses my gifts and life experience for the sake of others. Here's the truth. We see it even in these godly men we call disciples. There is a longing inside of each one of us to feel valued and valuable. To know that our lives count for something. The disciples, these godly men who spent time with Jesus, were found out one day arguing among themselves, wanting to know which among them was the greatest, which deserved the most honor, which deserved the place of recognition, who would sit at the right hand of Jesus, who would be recognized as the spiritual leader. They were struggling with this inner desire to feel valuable. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a desire to feel valuable, it's how we define being valuable. St. Mark writes in Mark 9, they came to Capernaum. When Jesus was in the house, he asked them, guys, I added that, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet. Why? Because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Here's the power of Hosanna in your life. There is a ministry, a call of God for you that will grant you as a gift of God such a sense of satisfaction knowing that your life does have real value. But for believers, value is not determined by how high we rise, but how low we are willing to bend our knee to help somebody else. Can you visualize your ministry, your place of value? Here's a hint. Look deep in your heart to the place where you have hurt most. And where you have felt the saving God, grace of God, meet you with His hope and restoration. That painful life experience may very well be your visualized ministry, where you can speak into the hearts of others who hurt with a common experience, but with the hope that you have found in Jesus Christ. When you're gone, how will you be remembered? When I'm gone, how will I be remembered? I hope that somehow, some way, I was able to help someone stand up again. Find strength to start over again. Find the power to believe again. Have reason to hope again. That's what it means to be valuable in the sight of God and in the heart of someone else. And I believe God desperately wants to save you by helping you visualize your place where you become His tangible hands and feet of hope for someone else.
And lastly, E.
Hosanna, save me and empower me to live a life that really matters. If on the last point you were willing to go with me just even for a moment to that painful place in life, you may be struggling with the thought, I don't know that I could ever share that with someone else. I don't know that I'm good enough to be a servant, a minister. But I know that if you're willing to let the risen Lord take those broken places of your life and put them together again, He will give you the power to live out your ministry in a way that really matters. Listen to this promise. Paul makes it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling. That means that He can take even the most painful mistakes of your life and use them for ministry. And that by His power, He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And you in Him. I'm convinced that not only do we feel the most valuable to others when we are bending the knee in service and loving and helping and sharing out of our own experience, but we feel most empowered when we let God use the weakness of our lives to accomplish something great for somebody else. I'm so grateful for Palm Sunday. I'm so grateful to be able to cry out, Hosanna. I'm so grateful because I know that He has saved me by the blood of the cross. Do you know that? You can know that. And there is no greater conversation I can ever have with you. I want you to know that you are saved. But I cry Hosanna today with hope because I know He's not done with me yet. And He hadn't given up on me yet. And that He is in the process of saving me from the residual of the old life. I cry Hosanna today because I no longer have to live with the guilt of self-actualization. When I mess up, He speaks to me with the gift of guilt and says, John, together, let's make this right. You don't have to live under the curse of self-accusation and guilt either. And in fact, the blood of the cross promises that you can be set free. I cry Hosanna today because I know my life is valuable. Because God is using the broken places in me, the vulnerable places in me, to help others have reason to hope and stand up and face the future. And I cry Hosanna today because I feel empowered by His presence to live a life that matters. And I want you to cry Hosanna for those same reasons today. And if I can help you along the way to know that your sins are forgiven, to find release from self-accusation, to help you visualize how your gifts and your life experience can be your calling, can be your ministry, and to know the incredible joy of being empowered by the Spirit of God, I would be so honored to do that. Just before we began this message, the band sang that really hope-filled song, "You Make Everything Glorious." And because of Palm Sunday and all that happens this week, God is waiting. If you'll invite Him to make everything glorious in you too. Hosanna. Amen.